Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Good morning to each of you, and thanks for joining us online for this Good Friday service. And a special thanks for those who have participated and made this service possible. How we need the message of Good Friday and Easter Sunday right now. God the Father, knowing how dark and difficult life in this world can be, and the depth of our need, sent Jesus. And as we have read and listened to the scriptures today, I trust that you have been amazed again at Jesus' willingness and his courageous love that took him to the cross to die. And what continues to amaze me is how this was the plan from the beginning. And the scriptures look forward to this event and anticipate it centuries before. In the opening chapter of the Gospel of John, it's recorded that John the Baptist sees Jesus approaching and declares, "Look," or "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Behold, the Lamb of God. Why would John the Baptist announce him as the Lamb of God? What's behind such a title? Let me suggest that there are three main Old Testament passages that provide the richness of understanding of John the Baptist's declaration, and that help us understand the wonder and the power and the meaning of what we celebrate today. The first goes back to Genesis 22, and a very difficult situation that Abraham, who is described as the father of all believe, was facing, that Abraham was facing. Now, as background, Abraham, when he was 75, he and his wife were without children. And they had been given a promise by God that they would have a child, and that Abraham's descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and that all people would be blessed through him. But even though he was already 75, he had to wait for the promise to be finally fulfilled when he was 100 years old. I can't imagine. His faith was tested. But miraculously, his wife Sarah, no spring chicken herself, at the age of 90, gives birth to a son, and they named him Isaac. But God had one final test for Abraham as to whether he truly trusted God completely. Here's the test. Genesis 22 and verse 2. Then God said to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." It's hard to imagine this situation. In fact, some people have great difficulty with this story for obvious reasons. It seems cruel, maybe even abusive. But God is giving us a picture, a memorable picture. He is sketching something in black and white that will become vivid colors centuries later. It's a test for Abraham, but it's also a story that will have powerful meaning for centuries to come. It is a story of faith, but also a provision. As Genesis 22 tells the story, Abraham and Isaac, now a young lad, head out together. Let me read it, as it is told in Genesis 22, beginning at verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place Yahweh Yireh, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." It's a dramatic story. For those who like suspense, it's a bit of a nail biter. God provides the lamb, and the lamb takes the place of Isaac on the altar. A lamb dies so that Isaac can live. It is the first clear instance of a substitutionary sacrifice in the scriptures. On the mount, God provides. But it is also intermingled with a father giving up his son and his son on the altar. Again, these images are just sketched on the canvas of Scripture, pointing forward to what we are remembering today as the true Son, loved by the Father, became the Lamb of God. Today, we celebrate God's provision, Yahweh Yireh. But this time, the Son of the Father truly dies and is the sacrifice, a sacrifice in our place. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The second Old Testament passage is in the book of Exodus. It is the origin of the celebration of Passover, which is celebrated by the Jewish community even now, and also stands behind what we will celebrate today in the Lord's Supper in just a few moments. The Israelites were in slavery in Egypt, and God had raised up Moses to be their deliverer. God had sent a series of plagues, and there was to be one more. The destroyer would come, and each firstborn son would die. But God gives directions to the Israelites so that this plague will pass over their homes. Let me read the instructions in Exodus 12, verses 21 to 23. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some on the blood on the top and both of the sides of the doorframe. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and the sides of the doorframe and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down." That very night, Pharaoh released the Israelites to leave Egypt. We need to understand that the whole Exodus deliverance narrative is a powerful story of God setting his people free from slavery. The Exodus deliverance, it is a picture, a glorious picture of our being set free from slavery to sin. We celebrate Jesus as our deliverer, as Moses was the Israelites in Egypt. But at the climax of that deliverance, God gives this powerful picture of the blood of the Lamb marking the entrance so that the destroyer will pass over. The shedding of blood, a powerful symbol. It communicates again that a life was given for another. The whole idea of sacrifice and substitution is woven throughout the Old Testament and into the New. Deliverance comes at a cost. There is always a payment. Blood must be shed so that judgment passes over. God sees the blood of the Lamb, and we are spared. The price has been paid. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The third passage of the Old Testament that I want us to consider is from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53. That was the passage on the video that we watched earlier in our service. I would encourage you to read this entire rich chapter of Isaiah 53. This amazing prophecy that so accurately and graphically predicts a suffering servant, a savior, hundreds of years before Jesus actually lived and died. Let me just remind you of two verses. Verse 5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." And verse 7, listen to this verse. "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." In verse 7, it is the silence of the Lamb that is highlighted. It's the surprising, astounding nature of this. You expect complaint, protest, defense. And while it might be natural for a real sheep to be in shock at its sacrifice, the point is that it's beyond comprehension for the suffering servant, the Savior, as is depicted in Isaiah 53. Yet what the Gospels proclaim is that Jesus too was silent. He did not protest. What we know of Jesus who fulfilled this awful but glorious prophecy is that he did so willingly. He could have called 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. The Apostle Peter, who had witnessed Jesus' trial and crucifixion, writes these words while clearly having this Isaiah passage in mind. Peter writes, "When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins on his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus came to die, to give his life. What does that mean for you and for me? There are so many great things. Forgiveness, grace, salvation, life, peace, joy, reconciliation, hope. It means that for you, wherever you are, whatever might be your situation, you are loved deeply and truly loved. It also means that we must respond to this great love in trust and in worship. The scriptures invite us to put our trust in this Lamb of God. John 3:16 simply puts it this way: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." We are to put our trust in God's provision, his only Son, the Lamb of God. I hope that you have done that, and if you have not, do so today. Put your trust in the Savior. Come to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Let me lead you in prayer. Father God, thank you for this time together, that we can remember and reflect, to behold again the Lamb of God. The wonder of this, the richness of this. Help us to grasp even more of it this day, in this season, to know that we are loved, to know that we are forgiven, to know that we have hope because of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Thank you, our God. Thank you, our Lord. For in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.